Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Can't say it enough. Thank you for giving your Son for us, Lord. Help us to truly recognize what you paid for us, Lord. Help us to not forget. Speak to us from your word tonight, Lord. We want to hear from you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight we're gonna go to John chapter 18. We're going to pick up at verse 28. Once we get to verse 28 of chapter 18, Jesus has already been through the Last Supper. He's already washed the disciples' feet. He's already prayed and sweat great drops of blood. Judas has betrayed him. He's been arrested. He stood before the high priests in that sham of a trial. And now, well, of course, being we're in the book of John, we do have to also mention that Peter has cut off Malchus's right ear and Jesus has healed that, because John was the one who made it a point to mention that it was the right ear and that it was Malchus. Because, you know, Peter and John had a bit of a competition going on. So he liked to point out the fact that, you know, most likely Peter was right-handed. So that means Malchus was running away from him when he cut his ear off. So I love that about those two, that little rivalry. They get their digs in with each other, but we're beyond all that. And there, and Peter has denied the Lord three times. The cock has crowed. And now, as it says in verse 28, then, this is the chief priest, the high priest, they led Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early. And they themselves went not into the hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. They held a sham trial, which they know breaks so many laws of their own, which would defile them from being able to partake in the Passover. And they're worried about where they're going to stand. That was me before I knew the Lord, too. There's certain things I'd want to follow and other things I would not. In verse 29, Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? And they answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to you. They don't want to tell him. We brought him, so obviously he's a malefactor, so you should handle it. Then Pilate said unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. So it's not just some minor judgment they want Pilate to make. That the saying of Jesus, in verse 32, might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. And you know, one of the references to that is in Matthew chapter 20, verses 18 and 19, if you want to go and look at it later. It's where we could even go to it now. Why not? Let's go there. Matthew 20, verses 18 and 19. And it's Jesus speaking, of course, in these verses. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. And they shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. I was tempted to leave that last part off, but I can't, because that's our hope. The third day he rose again. And he didn't just, you know, it's signifying what death. He didn't just signify what death. They were going to mock him. They're going to scourge him and they're going to crucify him. He laid it all out. He knew exactly what he was headed for. And he went for us. I mean, like, I just think about going for me. I mean, I don't know myself as well as the Lord knows me. And I remember who I was before I met the Lord. And I'm disgusted. And yet, he knew that was all coming. And he went for me and all of you. Then Pilate, in verse 33, entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Do you really know that I'm the King of the Jews, or did somebody else tell you that? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Yeah, I'm a king, but this, my kingdom's not here yet. And Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king? To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth, and everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he didn't wait for an answer. When he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." Remember, the Passover lamb would be brought into the house and kept there for 4 days. And then on that last day, then they would take him to the priest to be examined to see if he was blameless, without fault. And Jesus has been standing before Pilate, and Pilate finds no fault in him. He is a spotless lamb, perfect for a sacrifice. "But you have," in verse 39, "you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Then cried they all, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. And interestingly, I'm sure most of you probably know, his name means son of the father. One son of the father traded for another son of the father. One who was without fault, who could pay our debt, and one who was definitely not without fault. Says a robber. He was so much more. He was an insurrectionist, a murderer, and they chose him over the son of the father. Going on to verse 19, chapter 19 here. "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns." I love how in scripture it just says, "and scourged him." It's like, there's so much more to that. It is, unless you know what it is, it's so much worse than you know what it is. It's, he was basically turned into walking hamburger again for us. And he knew it was coming. And Jesus knew what scourging was, and he knew it was coming, and he still went. So, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. The mocking. Of course, this is mocking by Gentiles who kind of have an excuse for not knowing who he is, whereas the high priests and the Jews, all the religious leaders, they should have been looking for him. They should have been paying attention. They should have known who he was. Pilate therefore, in verse 4, went forth again and said unto them, "I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." Again, Pilate again tells them, "I don't find any fault in this man." Doubly confirmed, even with the scourging. Because one of the things they would do with that scourging is if you would confess sins, they would lighten the strokes. And he kept his mouth shut because he had nothing to confess. Nothing to confess. And so he took the full force of that scourging. Verse 5, "Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold, the man who took our place." He became a man to take our place. And so as he's standing there as the man who is taking our place, going where we should be, taking the punishment we deserve for all to see, suffering the shame that we deserved. So verse 6, "When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him." And actually, "him" is in italics. So they were really just saying, "Crucify, crucify." And Pilate saith unto them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." And the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. In the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 19, Pilate's wife had come to him and said, have nothing to do with this just man, because I've been suffering many things in my dream because of him. So he's got that in his brain cells, and he hears he made himself the Son of God. And Pilate's got to be like, oh my goodness, am I going to put God to death? Something along those lines. I imagine that's what he was thinking. If he was the more afraid, you know. And in verse 9, and he went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? Well, probably more like, whence art thou? I would imagine there was probably some shakiness to that voice of his at this point. But Jesus gave him no answer. And then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you, and I also have the power to release you? I can't imagine there was any strength in his voice when he was saying that to Jesus. And I look at this verse 11, and I look at this as Jesus being, you know, I don't think Pilate ever became a Christian. I don't know. Maybe we'll get to heaven and he'll be there. Who knows? I mean, from the history, probably not. But I look at this, you know, because Jesus came here to have mercy, to sacrifice. And I look at this as him having mercy on Pilate in this moment. Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me except it were given you from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto you has the greater sin. The people who brought me here, they're the ones who have the most sin going on here. They have the greater sin. And even with that, I'm going to go back to chapter 10 of John. It's connected to verse 11 there. 10 verses 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So you couldn't do anything. You would have no power at all unless it had been given to you. Because nobody can take my life from me. Anybody can take my life from me, but Jesus? No. No. And so from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. He was trying. He was trying to find every way to get Jesus out of this. But the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaks against Caesar. And so here we see who, though he fears God in a sense here, we see who Pilate really fears. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha, getting ready to pronounce judgment on him. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, so it was noon. And he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. And I imagine there might have been a bit of mocking in his voice when he said that to them too, because they're the ones that brought him. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. A complete rejection of what should have been their faith in their God. Because their God should have been their king. We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Now, John leaves out the whole section about Simon of Cyrene, who carried Jesus' cross. And I did notice an interesting thing to me. I always thought, well, Simon carried it because Jesus stumbled and fell or something. But in all the other Gospels where they mention Simon, it just says that he was compelled to carry the cross. It doesn't say Jesus stumbled. It doesn't say he fell. It doesn't say he was too weak. It just said that the Romans compelled him to carry the cross. I always thought that because any of the dramatizations I've ever watched show Jesus stumbling and falling, which, granted, he probably did because he was walking hamburger. He probably had a hard time carrying anything. But Scripture doesn't say that. It just says that they compelled him. And I just, that's just something I found interesting as I was preparing and reading. You know, it's like, oh, it doesn't say anything about Jesus falling. So verse 18, where they crucified him, so Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. So he wanted to make sure that, just like they did with anybody they crucified, they wanted to make sure everybody knew, this is what this person is up here for, so don't you be doing it. And in verse 21, then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garment, made four parts, and took every man, every soldier apart, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Therefore, said they amongst themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. And you will find that in Psalm 22:18, where that is prophesied. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Jesus was a good son, and he made sure his mother would be taken care of, even as he's dying for the sins of the world. He's taking care of his mother. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things now were accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And that is, you can find that in Psalm 22:15 and also 69:21. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. In other gospels, it also records that he also said that, into thy hands I commend my spirit, or commit my spirit. And verse 31, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. As I was reading through the Gospels, asking the Lord which one he wanted me to read from, one of the things I noted was that this account of breaking the legs and the piercing of the side is in John's Gospel. It's not in the other Gospels. So there's certain things that are in the other Gospels that aren't here, and this is one of the things that's here and not in those other ones. And I as I pondered on that one, I thought, you know, John was right there at the cross. He had to be there so Jesus could say, you know, mother, behold your son, and behold your mother. And so he was right there. He was able to see it. The other ones, probably they weren't that close. They followed from afar. And so they didn't get all this up close information. And let me see here. Let me finish reading this. And he that saw it bare record. In other words, John is talking of himself. And his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken, which is referred to in the Passover accounts in Exodus and Numbers, but also specifically in Psalm 34:20 is where that is. And again, another scripture saith, they look on him whom they pierced. And there is a mentioning in Psalm 22:16 of his hands and his feet being pierced. But in Zechariah 12:10 is where they shall look on him who they pierced. That's where that's at. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Now this is something, you know, Nicodemus went from secretly meeting with Jesus to now openly being out there to help take care of his body. He has grown in his faith. Then took they the body of Jesus, wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden was a new sepulcher, wherein never was man yet laid. And there they laid Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. There are a lot of details in that, a lot of things the Lord shows us. But I find it interesting that to really get a more in-depth description of the suffering of our Lord, you actually have to go to the Old Testament. And you probably know where I'm going. I'm going to just read through, starting at verse 13 of 52, and then read through Isaiah 53. So starting at verse 13 of Isaiah 52. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. A beautiful turn to it right there. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. There's the resurrection right there, which I am totally sure if I had been there and been one of his disciples following him, I would have completely missed it when he talked about rising from the dead. I would have been confused. I wouldn't have known what he was talking about. What do you mean, rising from the dead? You can't die. You're our leader. You're the Messiah. You can't die. But he did. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So what we remember on this Good Friday is that our Lord bare our sins, he was numbered with us, and he made intercession for us. He didn't turn aside. He didn't pull away. Even in the garden when he was praying and he said, if it be possible that this cup pass from me, you know, let it pass. But not my will, but your will be done. And that's what he did for us. And that's what we remember on this day. And as we are going to get ready to take communion here in a minute, we should continue to remember that. And so let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again. Thank you so much for the gift that you gave us of your Son. Thank you for his willingness to make that sacrifice, to be mocked, to be scourged, to be crucified. Not to mention, take all of our sin upon his sinless body, his sinless soul and spirit, and pay the price for our sin, Lord. Thank you so much for that, Lord. And help us, Lord. We want to live lives worthy of the sacrifice you've made. As the guy said to Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. Help us to do it, Lord. We want to, but we know we can't without you. Help us. We need you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.